This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report, a weekly news briefing on religious liberty news, a program hoping to educate, encourage, support, and equip you, our listeners, on important issues of our day, but always approaching the issues from a biblical worldview.
You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, Alexander Alfano reporting, this first week of August, 2024. For me, an inspiration, an honor to bring you this weekly report. If you are new to the Religious Liberty Report, we are a Christian legal organization hoping to help equip you with tools to take your faith to the culture so that we may better understand England and articulate our Christian worldview in a way that is courteous, kind, winsome, yet bold, uncompromising, and committed to God's Word as our guide. As we often remind our listeners, the idea is not to win debates, but to win hearts, minds, and souls. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report this first week of August, 2024, where we work to equip ourselves to understand, articulate our Christian worldview. At South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary, you can look to lead in business, counsel with compassion, run a church, or enrich your spiritual life. The new programs at South Florida Bible College are designed just for you. Introducing the Master's in Business Administration, Master's in Mental Health Counseling, and Doctor in Ministry. South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary, offering undergraduate, graduate, and doctoral degrees. These degree programs available online or on campus in Deerfield Beach, Florida. South Florida Bible College offering over 20 total programs, campus and online. 10 graduate programs, including 2 doctoral programs offered on campus. For more information, visit them online at sfbc.edu. In Jude, verse 3, we read, "Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints." Jude, verse 3. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. "Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." Galatians 6, verse 8. Turning to page 1 on the report, this first week of August, 2024. Paris Olympics organizers apologize to Christians for unintentional Last Supper parody. The apology follows anger among Catholics and other Christian groups at opening ceremony segments that resembled biblical scenes. The organizing committee of Paris 2024 has apologized to Christian groups who were outraged by a scene during the opening ceremony that evoked Leonardo da Vinci's The Last Supper, featuring drag queens, transgender models, and a singer made up as the Greek god of wine. The parody of the biblical scene performed against a backdrop of the River Seine in Paris. The committee was forced to apologize after the performance caused outrage among Catholics, Christian groups, and conservative politicians around the world. The organizers apologizing, saying, quote, "they did not mean it to be insulting to Christians." Ladies and gentlemen, of course meant it to be insulting to Christians. Clearly, It was meant to be insulting to Christians. Tolerance? Yes, about tolerance, except for Christians, it seems. Really intolerant of Christianity. There's a false belief permeating our society, our culture, that all human behavior is morally equivalent and useful to society. This false notion, of course, causes our culture to degrade into moral relativism, and then to hedonism, which inevitably brings about cultural decay. Brothers and sisters, the problem with value relativism is that it holds that there are no universally true answers to the great questions of life, and that there is no natural order to the world that can be discovered by human reason to provide a model for human existence. This false idea that there is no good, no evil, no noble, no base, no virtue, no justice, and ultimately no truth about anything that is fundamentally important has led to the decline of Western civilization. Relativism robs people of any real sense of purpose in life. If there's no truth in the world outside of science, because all values are relative and all our opinions are equal, well, what aspirations can humans have? If life has no meaning, no real purpose, and no direction, then what is the point? Moral Relativism on the Religious Liberty Report this first week of August 2024. Moral relativism, a type of subjectivism which holds that moral truths are preferences, kind of like your taste in ice cream or music. Moral relativism teaches that when it comes to morals, ethics, that which is ethically right or wrong, people can and should do whatever feels right for them. Ethics and truth depend on the individual, the group, or the culture. Ethical truth, subjective, meaning that everybody's morality is equal. No one has a particular claim to an objective truth or morality that is incumbent or to be imposed on others or on society. When faced with exactly the same ethical situation, one person may choose one response, while another may choose the opposite response. Relativism. No one and no universal rule of conduct applies. In an article by Greg Sukel, he lists 7 flaws with moral relativism. I'll go through them with you here on the report. Flaw number 1, moral relativists can't accuse others of wrongdoing. Flaw number 2, relativists can't complain about the problem of evil. Flaw number 3, relativists can't place blame or accept praise. Flaw number 4, relativists can't make charges of unfairness or injustice. Flaw number 5, relativists can't improve their morality. They can't become better people. Under relativism, one's ethics can never become more moral, since it's all relative. Flaw number 6, relativists can't have meaningful moral or ethical conversations. Flaw number 7, relativists can't promote the obligation of tolerance. To be tolerant is self-refuting for relativists. Ironically, the principle of tolerance is considered one of the key virtues of relativism. The bankruptcy of relativism. Moral relativism is bankrupt. It is not a true moral system. In fact, it is self-refuting. It is hypocritical. It is logically inconsistent. It is irrational. Yet people today are drowning in a sea of moral relativism. A relativism that is destroying conscience, producing societies without scruples. This is why we don't teach moral relativism to our children. In fact, we labor to teach them just the opposite. Because brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, relativism is ultimately self-centered, egoistic, and hypocritical. Doing your own thing is fine for the relativist, but not for others. And this is the inconsistency and the irrationality of moral relativism. Adolf Hitler famously said, quote, "I have freed Germany from the stupid and degrading fallacies of conscience and morality. We will train our young people before whom the world will tremble." Turning to page 2 on the Religious Liberty Report. Alexander Alfano reporting this first week of August, 2024. 2. Arch terrorists are dead. We learned this week how Hezbollah had fired a rocket into northern Israel, into the Golan Heights, killing 12 Druze children. Druze. Not quite Muslims, a sort of offshoot of Islam, about 1,000 years ago. They have their own form of religion, really. The Druze call themselves monotheists or Unitarians. The Druze. An esoteric Arabic-speaking religious group from West Asia, an Abrahamic monotheistic syncretic ethnic religion, whose main tenets assert the unity of God, reincarnation, and the eternity of the soul. Most Druze religious practices are kept secret. The Druze do not permit, for example, outsiders to convert to their religion. Marriage outside the Druze faith is rare and strongly discouraged. The Epistles of Wisdom is the foundational and central text of the Druze faith. The Druze faith originated in Ismailism, a branch of Shia Islam, and was influenced by Christianity, Gnosticism, Neoplatonism, Zoroastrianism. Druze believe in reincarnation. They believe that at the end of the cycle of birth, there is rebirth, and that there are successive reincarnations. And ultimately, the soul is united with the cosmic mind. I found it interesting that the Druze have a special reverence for the biblical Jethro. The Druze believe that Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, Muhammad were prophets. The Druze tradition also honors and reveres Elijah, John the Baptist, St. George, Job of the Old Testament, and Luke, the evangelist of our New Testament. The Druze are also strong allies of Israel. In fact, most are Israeli citizens. So when 12 Druze children or young boys were killed in a rocket attack in the Golan Heights this past week, Israel was called upon to respond. The U.S. administration warning that Israel should not respond too strongly, because when Of course, when you have 12 of your own citizens killed by a rocket attack from a terrorist group, what we've learned from the current administration is that they pressure you to find a diplomatic way out of it. They're putting serious restraints on what Israel could do. Warning Israel against responding too forcefully against Hezbollah operating out of southern Lebanon. The U.S. administration warning Israel that they shouldn't do anything big. If they do anything big, the United States is going to be big mad, super mad. All this after the current administration has been slow walking military aid to the Israelis, seeking to prevent them from being able to take Hezbollah off their northern border. It should be reminded at this point, if you know nothing about the history of the region, is that Hezbollah is in Lebanon, and that Israel has no territorial aspirations in Lebanon. There is no occupation of southern Lebanon. In fact, Israel withdrew from southern Lebanon in 2005. And when they withdrew in 2005 from southern Lebanon, the United Nations was supposed to put in a peacekeeping force. But this peacekeeping force left shortly thereafter, and Hezbollah promptly took up the entire area and built up about, it is calculated, 125,000 rockets, of which 25,000 have targeting capacity, which means that the entire north of Israel since October 7th has been a ghost town as Israelis have fled south. The United States telling Israel to not do anything to escalate. Please don't escalate. Because whenever Israel does something to protect itself, it seems that it amounts to escalation. So what did Israel do? Well, Israel decided on a couple of targeted killings. Normally, targeted killings are not effective. They kill one bad guy, one terrorist, but he's quickly replaced with another. But that's not what happened over the course of this past week. This past week, Israel killed one of Hezbollah's top military leaders in an airstrike in Beirut, striking and killing Fuad Shakur. He's the highest-ranking leader of Hezbollah to be killed in many years. Supposedly the number two to the actual leader of Hezbollah, Hassan Nasrallah, also seeking to destroy Israel and the United States, because you'll remember that Hezbollah in 1983 was responsible for the Marine barracks attack, the bombing that killed 241 American Marines. The same Hezbollah that has turned Lebanon from a relatively peaceful Christian country to an extremist, backward, terrorist state. Israel struck and killed Fuad Shakur with an aerial attack, a targeted aerial attack in the middle of Beirut, the capital of Lebanon, in what was a very targeted strike. Really an incredible feat of military intelligence by the Israelis. And then the same exact day, it turns out, they killed Ismail Haniyeh. You may recognize Ismail Haniyeh somewhat better than Shakur, because he's been on television a lot as the political head of Hamas, even though he's been residing in a 5-star hotel in Qatar after embezzling billions of dollars of Palestinian foreign aid. Okay, so Haniyeh, the political head of Hamas, showed up at the Iranian inauguration of the new president, as the former Iranian president Hassan Rouhani had died recently in a helicopter accident. Haniyeh, at the Iranian inauguration of the new fake Iranian president, because what Iran does is what most dictatorships do, is that they prop up somebody and pretend that he won an election and that the change of face is somehow a change in policy, which it is not. We saw the same thing this past week in Venezuela. So, of course, the government of Iran invited the VIP, Ismail Haniyeh, to the inauguration. So Israel killing the political head of Hamas in Tehran, a military leader of Hezbollah in Beirut. It's not clear how the killing occurred in Tehran. Some are alleging that Israel fired some sort of surface-to-surface missile. Others, the more recent reports, that an explosive device had been hidden in the guest house where Haniyeh was staying. So what is Israel doing? Well, what Israel is doing is very clear, and they are trying to reestablish deterrence. What they're doing is they're suggesting, we know we can't go full scale against Hezbollah right now, not without the United States rearming us in some way, but what we also know is that we cannot allow Hezbollah and Hamas and all of their other Iranian proxies to empty the north of Israel and kill our citizens. So if you're Israel, what are you going to do? Well, what they're going to do is they're going to kill off the leaders, one by one, of their enemies, in the places where they're supposed to be most protected. Tehran, the capital of Iran. Beirut, the capital of Lebanon. All this a message to the Ayatollahs. If you step outside the lines, if you cross the red line, we also know where you live, and we'll eliminate you as well. A strong move by the Israeli government, for sure. Some saying it's escalatory. Others saying no. It turns out that October 7th was escalatory. Firing thousands of rockets into Israel from southern Lebanon is escalatory. And killing 12 Druze kids on a soccer field in northern Israel is escalatory. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report this first week of August 2024. Alexander Alfano reporting. Turning the page on the Religious Liberty Report. The prophetic Messiah timeline. We've reported on this show before on the YouTube video entitled Messiah 2030. A sort of prophetic Messiah timeline. Calendrical interpretations of biblical messianic prophecies and patterns. We don't allege that the interpretations of Messiah 2030 are accurate or even entirely biblically based. However, there are some interesting patterns that do seem to arise. The precise biblical years of the Messiah's first and second comings. A 7,000-year messianic timeline, where the first coming of the Christ was in 30 CE, when he entered Jerusalem, and supposedly a second coming to occur in the year 2030. Prophecies alleging to calculate the Messiah's second coming, the timing of the second coming, somehow basing the calculation on the first coming of Christ and the prophecy of the 7 weeks that we find in the book of Daniel. Also premised on the one day as a thousand-year principle that we find in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. This one day is a thousand year principle teaches that a literal day can prophetically represent 1,000 years. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 reads, "But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day." 2 Peter 3, verse 8. So it goes something like this. Day 1 of 7, biblical year 0 to biblical year 1000. Light, darkness, separated one from the other. Adam and Eve, sinning. The separation of good and evil. The fulfillment of day 1 of creation. Day 2, biblical year 1000 to 2000. Day 2, the earth covered by water. The water from below separated from the water above. Waters from the fountains of the deep below and waters from above. We have Noah's flood as the fulfillment of day 2 of creation. Day 3, biblical year 2000 to biblical year 3000. On day 3 of creation, we have land providing, yielding seed-bearing fruit. So it is speculated, conjectured, calculated that likewise in the third millennia of man, Abraham was promised that his seed would be given land. Israel was given the written Torah, which is referred to as the seed in Scripture, and Israel is planted in the promised land. Biblical day 3. Biblical day 4. Biblical years 3000 to 4000. On day 4 of creation, the sun, as the greater light, was created. In like manner, at the end of the fourth millennia of man, the Messiah came into the world as light. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, we read, "The Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing on his wings." The Messiah was the fulfillment on day 4 of creation. Day 5, biblical year 4000 to 5000. On day 5 of creation, fish, birds are created and multiply on the earth. In like manner, in the fifth millennia of man, the Messiah's disciples become fishers of men, and the Spirit, represented as a dove, fills the disciples. The Messiah commands his disciples to multiply on the whole earth. The exponential multiplication of disciples, the fulfillment of day 5 of creation. Day 6, biblical year 5000 to 6000. On day 6 of creation, man was created, instructed to multiply and fill the earth, and exercise dominion over creation. At the end of the sixth millennia of man, we see that population of earth increasing exponentially, and man achieving an unprecedented mastery over creation. Man's filling and exercising dominion over the earth, the fulfillment of day 6 of creation. Thank you for tuning in to the Religious Liberty Report in this first week of August 2024. For me, an honor and inspiration to bring you this report. Please tune in next week as we continue with Day 7 and other Religious Liberty news. Signing out, Alexander Alfano, the Religious Liberty Report. God bless you, and God bless America.
Thank you for tuning in to the Religious Liberty Report, a broadcast intended to help equip churches and ministries on how to remain faithful to our mission in a culture that too often disagrees with our message. Tune in next week as we follow